Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Hey, how's everyone doing? Hey, real quick, we have to announce, Pastor Moore just became a grandfather this week. So, very awesome. Congratulations to Sean and Sarah. Well, hey everyone, my name's Doug, but how many of you guys know me as Bubba? I always like to get a good grasp. That's great. Well, I know I've grown up, but if you know me as Bubba, please keep calling me Bubba. I appreciate that. If you're new, you can call me Doug. That's great. I'm so honored to be here. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. The first thing I just want to share is my life was transformed, obviously by God, but through this church and through the people in this church. And I read a quote recently by Bob Goffin. He said, "We're all reflections of people who have loved us selflessly." And I could name hundreds of you in this church that have selflessly served in different ministries that have impacted my life. You've selflessly poured your life into my life, and I'm just so grateful. And I can truly say with great humility that I would not be standing here and not be doing anything probably in life if it weren't for your selflessness and you serving and giving your money. And so thank you for transforming my life through your giving, through your support, through your volunteering. And I'm just one story out of thousands that have had their lives impacted through this church. So thank you for that. This church means the world to me. A little bit about me. I work at Light of Life Rescue Mission. How many of you guys have been to Light of Life or heard of Light of Life? Okay, we're a homeless rescue mission on the north side of Pittsburgh and been there for 60 plus years. That's a phenomenal ministry. And you as a church support us, so thank you for that. And if you ever want to come down and serve meals or get involved, we'd love to have you do that. My wife and I are also passionate about leadership development, and so we started an organization called L3 Leadership, and really our focus is we want to develop leaders who will lead for Christ in all sectors of society, and we believe if we can pour into leaders and they grow up and lead for Christ in their certain sector, then ultimately we'll create a city famous for God because we have leaders dispersed all throughout the city leading for Christ. And really where we got that was simply all we're trying to do for people is simply do for others what Pastor John and Michelle and this church did for us. They saw potential in us, they gave us opportunities, and they developed us as leaders. Laura and I just got done with the Leadership Academy with Pastor John, spending 9 months under his teaching. It was a phenomenal experience. I did see online that the registration's open for the next Leadership Academy, and if you're a young leader here, I can't encourage you enough to sign up for that. God did so much in Laura and I's heart through the Leadership Academy, and I'm just so grateful we have a church, the church that believes in developing next generation leaders. And then lastly, and most importantly, I'm married to my high school sweetheart, Laura, and there should be a picture. And we just had our first baby, too. Her name is, Her name is Olivia Catherine Smith, and here's a picture of her. She's awesome. And she just started smiling recently, so we have some pictures of that as well. It's the best. It's unbelievable. And now I finally understand what Pastor John talks about. All I do is kiss her cheeks all day long. It's unbelievable. And I'll just say this about childbirth. Like, I've always respected women, but my respect for women, it's through the roof. Like, you guys are my heroes. I would have lasted maybe 30 seconds in labor. So moms, my appreciation for you, I just thank you for everything you do. You guys are definitely the superior sex. Is that wrong to say? I'm not gonna say anything else. I'll get in trouble. All right. Let's pray and get into the word. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, I thank you that you say in your word, where two or more gathered in your name, that you're there. So I thank you for your spirit. I thank you that you're here. And Lord, we just open up our hearts to what you want to speak today. Lord, I pray that you speak something specific to each person in this room that's listening, whether it's something I say, whether it's something you speak to their heart. Lord, I just pray that everyone goes home with something from you today and one step closer to you than they were yesterday. And we just thank you for that and thank you for this opportunity. Just anoint my words and give me boldness and courage to speak in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Well, we've been in this series called The Summer of Spiritual Growth. And this series is awesome. For whatever reason, the way God wired me, I love personal growth. I love reading and growing as much as I can. And so I've really enjoyed this series. But one reason that I love growth is I've discovered this in life is growth equals happiness. Growth equals happiness. If you show me a growing person, I'll show you a happy person. If you show me a marriage that's growing, I'll show you a happy marriage. If you show me an organization that's growing, I'll show you a happy organization. And that doesn't mean that growth is easy all the time and there's not things that you have to do to overcome hurdles. But I'm telling you, if you want to be happy, then you have to get on a personal growth plan or a spiritual growth plan, which is what we're teaching you to do this summer. Specifically, I don't know about you, I've loved this series, and it's actually, I've been having devotions, you know, daily, spending time with God for 14 years, but even some of the things Pastor John shared about how he has devotions really has changed some of the things that I do in my time and really kind of revitalized and re-energized my devotion time. But what have we been learning? Number one, spend time with God. How many of you guys have been setting your appointments with God? I'm telling you, there's nothing you could do that's more important. I remember I was 17 years old and I was interning at this church, and I finished my first year of interning and we had a graduation picnic, and I was sitting next to Pastor John and I was so nervous. He was my hero. I mean, it's Pastor John. And so I sat next to him and I wasn't good at asking questions. I'm nervous. I was sweating. And I just looked at him like, Pastor John, how are you so awesome? And he knew what I meant. And so he looked at me and he said, you know, Bubba, look back on the past year of your life. Have you grown a lot? I said, oh, I've grown leaps and bounds. I can't believe how much I've grown in the time I was here. And he said, I've just been doing that year in and year out for 25 plus years. Just keep growing every single day. And that's what this summer is all about, teaching you how to do that day in and day out. My high school football coach used to say it like this: day-to-day intensity, week-to-week consistency builds champions. And I love that. I know that I love quotes, so I wake up and I say that sometimes. I'm like, all right, everything I'm pursuing today, I got to do it day to day, intensely and with consistently, week in and week out. And if I'll just do that, if I'll take care of the fundamentals, the results will take care of themselves. And that's why it's so important for you to grow spiritually every single day, because you never know when you're going to need to draw on what you're putting in. And sometimes you don't see yourself growing. You know, you don't see your hair growing each month, but eventually you need a haircut. It's the same thing with spiritual growth. You may not see yourself growing, but all of a sudden a test or trial comes your way, and all of a sudden you can grow through it where in the past it may have limited you. And so it's so important to schedule your time daily with him. Pastor John's been teaching us how to get into worship during our daily time with him. And then we need to spend time in prayer. I'm a very type A personality, go, 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 I need results. And so for me, sometimes, I'm just gonna be honest, my prayer life can be a struggle because sometimes it feels passive to me. But prayer isn't passive. In fact, one of the scriptures that really encourages me and challenges me to pray in my time with God, there's a scripture in Daniel chapter 9, and an angel actually comes to Daniel, and he said, Daniel, when you prayed, a command in heaven went forth. And I just love being an active person. I love that. It's like, hey, when I pray, things happen in heaven, and prayer matters. And so we need to spend time praying every single day. And then Pastor John talked about the importance of journaling. I love journaling. I've been journaling since 2004, and I've heard a definition of journaling simply being an intimate recording of my journey with God. And for me, that's what I love about journaling, because I can go back and look at what God was doing in my life in 2004. And it's funny to go back and look and be like, I was worried about that. Or hey, I remember believing God for that, and look when he showed up. God's been so faithful. And so I can't encourage you enough to journal what you're writing. And when you come to church, take notes. Take notes, because again, I think it's so easy. If you guys remember Pastor Craig DeBauer, he was a great mentor in my life. He always shared the scripture and it really just resonated with me. Romans 10:17 says this, it says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And Pastor Craig would always say, faith comes by hearing, not having heard. And I think so many times it's easy to get in the habit of stop taking notes or stop coming to church with an expectation that God's gonna meet you and speak something to you because we've heard this subject before or we've heard this message before. But if you really believe that God is alive and God's presence is here, then God can speak to you something in service that can change your life forever. But you have to be attentive, and if you don't have someone to write it down, you may not remember it. So we need to take journal. And so again, schedule your daily time with God. And then on this past weekend, Pastor John posted a video recap of his service last week. And he said this, and this is what I'm going to talk to you about today. I love this. In his recap, he said this. He said, it's the word of God that gives you the capacity for spiritual growth. Most of your issues have to be grown out of. And you can grow spiritually through the bulk of your problems. You can grow spiritually through the bulk of your problems. And I want to talk to you about what it actually looks like when you take your personal walk with God every day and actually face issues that you have to grow through. To illustrate that, I'm going to talk to you about the law of the lid. And the law of the lid was made famous by John Maxwell, but the law of the lid simply says this to illustrate it. If you took a bunch of fleas and you opened the lid and you put a bunch of fleas in this jar, put the lid back on and just let them fly around, they're all initially, just by human nature, going to try to get out of the jar. But obviously there's a lid on the jar. So what's going to happen? They're going to hit their head. and hit their head and hit their head and hit their head. And you know, fleas aren't the smartest species on earth, but they know long enough, if I hit my head long enough, it's probably not a good thing. So they'll eventually stop trying to get out of the jar, so much so that they'll just fly around in the jar that you could actually take the lid off and they'll never fly out because they've gotten used to a limitation in their life. And unfortunately, I've seen that happen in Christians' lives over and over and over and over and over again. They come up against a lid and they don't know how to outgrow their problems through spiritual growth, and they stay stuck and they live a limited life compared to the life that God had for them. Because I don't know about you, but with God, there are no lids in life. There's no end to how far you can go. You may think you've gone as far as you can with God, and he'll say, yeah, you think that's something like, watch this, watch this. And there's always a new level in God. There's no limit to your growth or your potential in Christ. But we need to learn what happens when lids come into your life. What happens when issues come that want to make you abound and a slave and just limit your life? In Mark chapter 4, I don't have time to teach the whole thing, but Jesus told the parable of the sower and the seed. And he talks about four different kind of people who get a hold of the word of God. They get excited about it, but he says three out of the four people end up falling away for various reasons. Three out of four. Three out of four people never reach their full potential in Christ or never follow him and make it to their finish line. And I would love to say that I haven't seen that play out in the short 14 years I've been serving God consistently, but I've seen that be pretty consistent. I see people get excited all the time about God. They start pursuing him, but then lids come into their life and they don't know how to grow through them through the word of God. And so they limit themselves and they either fall away from God forever or they just remain tapped and bound. And so I want to talk to you about letting go and overcoming the lids in your life. The scripture I want to share with you is in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and it says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily tangles or trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Notice that the Bible says, let go of every weight. It doesn't say there's going to be some weights in your life or some lids that come into your life that you just won't be able to come. No, the Bible says, let go of everything holding you back so you can run your race. And how do you do that? The Bible says, how do you actually overcome those lids? You do it by keeping your eyes on Jesus. And that's exactly what we're teaching you to do this summer. We're teaching you to keep your eyes on him so that no lid can hold you back. And so what I want to do with you is I just want to share six common lids that I see hold believers back from their full potential in Christ. And these are things that I've all experienced. And when I share these things, these are just things that God has taught me. And how have I learned to overcome some of these things? Again, I'll just go back to day-to-day intensity, week-to-week consistently, just getting in the word of God. And it's enabled me to help grow through some of these things. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share a lid, talk about what the conditions of the lid are, and then I'm going to share what the word of God says about that lid and how you can actually break through that in your life. The first lid I want to talk to you about that I see hold so many people back is the lid of greed. Now, we don't talk a lot about this, and to be honest, I never thought a lot about this until I actually read a tweet by a pastor named Tim Keller, and it really got me studying this in my own life and evaluating my own life. But Tim Keller said this. He said, Jesus warns people far more about greed than about sex, yet almost no one thinks they're guilty of it. And that just got me thinking. And then in Luke 12, verse 15, Jesus said this. He said, beware. If Jesus says beware, you should probably listen up. He said, beware, guard yourself against every kind of greed, for life is not measured by how much you own. Conditions of this lid, in my opinion, are you elevate money or anything else above God. The pursuit of money or anything else above God. And I see this sidetrack so many believers. The dictionary defines greed as an intense and selfish desire for something, especially wealth, power, or food. Here are some thoughts. When we are getting over into the area of greed, here's what thoughts we start thinking. If I just get that promotion, people will respect me and I'll be fulfilled. If I just make this amount of money, I'll be secure and safe and I'll have it made. If I live in that neighborhood, I'll be content. If I had that experience, I'd have it made. If I married that man or that woman, then I would be happy. If I had this amount of influence or fame, I'd feel content. If I finally accomplished that goal, I'd feel worthy. And I just want to encourage you, when I'm bringing these things up, evaluate yourself. Do you find yourself thinking any of those thoughts? Because far too often, I find myself elevating things above my pursuit of God. But Jesus said to beware of that. Because here's what I found out about greed. Do you know that greed never delivers on its promise? Do you know that you could get all those things and feel absolutely nothing? Absolutely nothing. And to be honest with you, you'll figure out that there's nothing to that, and you'll say, okay, well, it must be something else, and you'll go chase something else. The problem with greed, not only does it not deliver on its promise, my friend Daniel Bull, he said this to him. He said, you have to be very careful, because if you're not, your ambition can start to outgrow your morals. And that's where so many people miss it. I think about the story of the young rich ruler. If you guys know the story, this young man who apparently had a lot of money and he was a leader, he went up to Jesus and said, Jesus, what do I have to do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, you have to obey the commandments. And this kid said, well, that's great. I've been doing that since I was a kid. And Jesus said, yeah, that's great, but there's one thing that you lack. Sell all of your possessions and give away to the poor. And the Bible says that the young man walked away sad because he had many possessions. And he elevated his possessions and his greed for things over what God had for him. And do you notice that in the story that Jesus didn't run after him and say, hey, let me just show you a contract of what you're walking out on. I'm going to make you a disciple. You're going to see miracles take place. You're going to see me raised from the dead. I'm going to have you write a book in the Bible. I have no idea what God had planned for him, but we don't know, and that's the whole problem. And so many times, because of the pursuit of greed and money and other things, we have no idea what God had for us outside of the jar because we limit ourselves by the pursuit of God, of things over God. And the reality is, the only solution is to realize that you're not trusting God when you put your pursuit of other things over him. You're not trusting that he can meet your needs, and so therefore you're trying to meet your own needs. So what are the solutions to this lid? How do you break free from greed? One, guard yourself, as Jesus said. Become aware of it. And maybe I shared this just so you can become aware of some areas of greed in your life. And then two, trust God to meet your needs. Matthew 6:33, it's my life verse, says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Our only job in that scripture that Jesus said is to seek him first. That's it. He said he'll take care of all these things, but what do we try to do? We try to take care of all these things and then seek God. Seek God first. In Romans 8:32, it said, if God wouldn't withhold his own son from you, why would he not also freely give you all things? If God wasn't going to give you anything, it would have been his son. But he gave you his son. And so start trusting God to meet your needs and find your contentment in him, because nothing else will satisfy you. The second lid that I see holds so many people back from what God has for them is the lid of fear, anxiety, and depression. Fear, anxiety, and depression. Conditions of this lid are you are constantly fearful and anxious. You worry about everything. Maybe you have anxiety attacks. You're depressed all the time. Or maybe you're afraid to pursue the dreams that God put in your heart. The solution to this lid is just to realize that God wants you totally free from all fears, all depression, and all anxiety. Totally free. And I learned this through experience. I used to have pretty severe anxiety attacks in 2008 and 2009. And they would literally leave me like in my bed, not wanting to move, not wanting to do anything. I couldn't get out of bed. I would actually have to go to other people's homes just to feel comfortable and have them take care of me. I mean, I was just bound. And isn't that just what the enemy wants to do? You know, I always think about, Jesus said this to Peter one time. He said, Peter, I'm praying for you because Satan desires to sift you like wheat. And the reality is we have an enemy that's greatly interested with keeping us inside and under our lids. We have an enemy that wants us to just lay in bed all day and never do anything for God. And so how do we overcome that? You have to overcome it by getting into the Word of God and finding out what the Word of God says about it. So when I was going through those anxiety attacks and having that season, I started getting into the Word, and I listened to a series by Keith Moore that totally set me free. It was called Free from All Fears. And if you deal with anxiety or depression or anything like that, I encourage you to listen to it. But he shared the scripture, and the scripture just came alive. It said, I prayed to the Lord, and he heard me, and he freed me from all my fears. He freed me from all of my fears. Not just some fears, all. And I don't know what it was about that scripture, but it just went off and I said, man, that's God's character. God doesn't want me bound by this. And so I just stood on that scripture. I said, God, I thank you that when I pray, you hear me, and that you hear me and you free me from all fear, all anxiety, so I can do what you called me to do. And you know I haven't had an anxiety attack since 2008. I've been totally free from anxiety, and it's been an absolutely wonderful thing. 1 Peter 5:7 helped as well. It says, give your worries and cares to God because he cares for you. You know, our bodies weren't meant to handle stress, anxiety, and fear. But God's saying, you don't have to handle that. You can cast those things on me. Why? Because God cares about you. I love what Keith Moore says. It's like God makes planets. So for him to take care of your little anxiety attacks, it probably is not a big deal for him. You can cast your care on him. Or maybe you deal with depression. I don't know about you. I have like bouts where I just like beat myself up. And man, Satan will just attack me with thoughts that you're not good enough, or you can't do this and you can't do that, and it paralyzes me. And I remember, sometimes I enjoy having pity parties. I don't know about you. Does anyone enjoy having pity parties? You just, hey, feel sorry for me, come on. Thank God I married a woman who doesn't let me have pity parties very often. Usually if I'm having a pity party, Laura's like, shut up and know who you are in Christ. But but one day I was trying to get some pity points from Laura, and I was like, oh, you know, and she's like, what's wrong? And I'm a guy, so I don't share my feelings. I was like, nothing. And she's like, clearly there's something wrong. I'm like, will you just hug me? Or, you know? And she's like, have you spent time with God? I'm like, of course you're going to ask that question, all right? But that's the exact question that she needed to ask, right? And let me just say this, that is the solution. Did you spend time with God? And so many times we have problems, but we haven't gotten into the Word to find out what the Word says, and we wonder why we have the problems. And we want some magic fix it, like all of a sudden something's going to happen. We're gonna like, woo-hoo. You have to put in the time. And so I said, man, I know I need to spend time with God. I went into a room, I turned on some worship. I went from having a pity party to getting into the presence of God. I felt led to read the book of Philippians. And in Philippians 4, verse 6, this is what God spoke to me. It says, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And when I read that, when it says thank him for all he has done, God dealt with my heart to, in my journal, start writing things that I was thankful for that he had done. So I started writing, and I said, God, thank you so much for loving my mom enough to sending someone to witness to her so she accepted Christ before she died. God, thank you for having that person call me to let me know that she witnessed to my mom and led her to Christ. Thank you for Judy Steidel starting a Bible study 5 years before I ever went to it so I could go to it and meet the Steidel family. Thank you for letting them bring me to Victory Family Church. Thank you for letting me meet Pastor Larry Betancourt and the pastors of this church. And thank you for letting me meet Laura. I got about a half a page into thanking God for what he's done, and I realized I was probably like 3 weeks into my Christian walk, and I just started weeping. And I said, God, what am I doing having pity parties thinking that I'm not good enough or that this and this, whatever. I'm like, you've done everything for me, everything. I have so much to be thankful for. And instantly I was filled with joy and the depression ceased. And if you struggle with depression, my question is, when's the last time you thanked God for everything you had? You may think life's been unfair and all these things, but I promise you, if you'll just take time to think about what God's done in your life, you'll weep with thankfulness. And I think so many times the solution to breaking through the lid of bitterness and depression is gratitude. Lid number three, the lid of hidden sin. The lid of hidden sin. Conditions of this lid are you have sin in your life that you haven't been strong enough to defeat. Anyone ever deal with that? Anyone ever make a promise to God, God, I'll never do that again, and then you do it the next day? And then you're like, God, I'll never do that again. You do it the next day. That was me in middle school. I remember doing that. And there's no way I'm not going to hell. I've lied to God like 10,000 times. But man, there's issues that come up in our life. And we aren't strong enough to overcome it. So what do you do? What do you do when you have sin and you just don't know what to do with it? One is you have to recognize that you're not the only one dealing with it. Do you know the Bible says we're all going through the same tests and trials? But one of the biggest lies the enemy's gonna try to tell you is that you're the only one in the entire planet going through that issue or that has that struggle or that keeps doing that. You're the only person in service here today that's struggling with that. No one else in Victory, everyone else in Victory Family Church walks in freedom and has a perfect life but you. We laugh, but isn't that what the enemy tries to tell us? And so what do? We isolate ourselves, we beat ourselves up, we stop going to church, we stop going to small groups, we stop being connected to the body of Christ, and our life falls apart and it just turns into a nightmare. So one, you have to recognize that you're not alone. And then two, this is what I encourage you to do if you're struggling with sin, admit it, quit it, and forget it. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. But too often we try to do the opposite, don't we? We try to forget like we ever did it. Did that really even happen? And then we try to quit it in our own strength, and we can't, so we keep trying and trying and trying. And then finally, we either get caught and have to tell, or we finally get to a place where we hit rock bottom and have enough humility to open up with someone else and say, I need help with this. I want to encourage you to not go through that whole process over and over again, but just simply have the humility to say, man, I'm a human being and I have struggles and I need help. That's why it's so important for you to be involved with small groups and go to a local church and get connected with other believers. And my question is, when was the last time you were honest about something that you were struggling with? Because I think being honest is the key to freedom in this area. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. Craig Rochelle said it this way. He said, you're only as strong as you are honest. I was meeting with a really, really good friend of mine a few months back, and we were talking about in our early 20s, we were all about holding each other accountable, and we both came to the conclusion that we weren't totally honest with each other. And we weren't totally honest with each other because we were scared of what the other person would think, or we would get judged. And so we finally came to this place in our friendship where we were totally open and honest with each other. And do you know how freeing it was? And do you know my friend didn't look at my struggles and I didn't look at his struggles and say, I can't believe you're dealing with that. What's wrong with you? What kind of Christian are you? We said, brother, I love you. I get it. I have flesh too. Let's walk through this together. Let's pray. Let's hold each other accountable and let's walk through life together. That's the beauty of going to church. That's the beauty of the body of Christ, is you have a family to go through life with. You don't have to hold on to these struggles and do anything on your own strength. If you want to break through the lid of hidden sin, stay connected to the body of Christ and be open about what you're struggling with. Lid number four, the identity lid. The identity lid. The conditions of this lid is your identity is way too wrapped up in something that you could lose. Your identity is too wrapped up in something that you can lose. In Matthew chapter 7, I believe it'll be on the screen, verses 24 through 27, Jesus talks about two foundations that you're building your life on. You're either building your life on the Word of God and building your identity in the foundation of God, or you're finding your identity in something else. It could be your job, your wife, your house, whatever it is. And Jesus said, listen to me, if all of your identity is built on all this other stuff, when the storms of life come, or if you lose any of that stuff, your life's gonna fall apart and crumble. But if you build your identity and foundation on me, it doesn't matter what comes your way, nothing will be able to shake you. But identity is such a hard thing. I want to encourage everyone here, don't put your identity in anything you can lose. What do I mean by that? Well, maybe you work at this at X organization, and you're so proud that you work there, and you're a VP there, you're a big deal there. Well, what happens if they let go of you? Does that mean you're a nobody and that you'll never do anything great with your life again and your life's over? Or what if your values in your neighborhood or your car, what if your car got a scratch on it? Does that mean you're a nobody now because your car has a scratch on it? Or God forbid anything ever happened to your spouse. But if all of your identity is in who your spouse is, what would happen if you lost them? Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you find your identity in what you're not. Right, I grew up the kid, I was heavy, I had a big head, big chin. Well, I still have a big head and a big chin. But, right, can I let that hold me back? God can never use me because of how I look. Or God can never use me because I had this GPA in high school. Or because of who I was, or because of who my parents were. And we can put all of our identity in that. The only problem with that is if you lose any of those things, if you lose your identity in that, your life and your identity is not in Christ, your life can fall apart real quickly. For me personally, I'm just gonna be real honest with you. So I used to be on staff at this church here, and Pastor Larry Betancourt was the youth pastor, and he started his own church, so I left to go plant the church with him, which was my decision. But when I left here, I didn't realize that all of my identity wasn't in Christ. My identity was that I worked at Victory Family Church. And I went through a time where I'm like, about 6 months where I had an identity crisis. Because I thought I was something because of where I worked and not who I was in him. I thought opportunity was tied to where I worked, not who I was in him. And what God had to teach me was my identity should never be in where I work or what I do. Even now, I have to examine myself closely. It's easy for me to find my identity in working at Light of Life. I serve the homeless. What's up? You guys all talk about it and know you should, but I do. What's up? Right? I'm a super Christian, right? So... But What if I don't work at Light of Life anymore and I can't say that I hang out with the homeless? Does that mean I'm a nobody and that God will never use me again? It doesn't, but if all my identity's in that, my life could fall apart very easily if I no longer work at Light of Life or no longer work here. And all I want to challenge you to do is find your identity in him and hold loosely to everything else. Just, you're a steward of it. Even if it's your spouse and you live with them the rest of your life, you're simply a steward of a gift that God gave you. Find your identity in him, and when the storms of life come, nothing can shake you. Identity crises wreck people all the time. And instead of finding their identity and digging down in Christ, they go off to the bar, or they have a midlife crisis, and go try to find another wife, or what, and their life just falls apart. Don't let that be you. Find your identity in the only thing you can never lose, which is God. Amen. Two more lids. Lid number five is the family lid. Anyone, as Pastor John would say, anyone have any crazy in their family, right? Anyone have any junk in their family? Anyone ever deal with, anyway, you'll get it. The family lid. The family conditions of this lid are you had bad parents or you have bad parents. Your parents disappointed you. Maybe you took how good your parents were for granted. Maybe you don't honor your parents. Maybe you've been a bad parent or you think you've been a bad parent. Right, family issues just kind of hit us deep, and they can have a dramatic impact on keeping us stuck in our walk with God. We, you know, we're living in a nation where there's an epidemic of fatherlessness, and it holds so many people back from the full potential that God has for their life. So how do you deal with this family lid? Several things I want to share with you. The first one is you have to seek God. Again, the answer to all these things is to do exactly what Pastor John's been teaching you, is just get in the Word and spend time with God every day, and God will make up for all of your insufficiencies. But see, God, in Psalm 27, verse 10, it says, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. And whether you've been abandoned or your parents aren't present, can I tell you that, man, God will hold you close and God will become the father you never had? And what I love about God is he'll not only do that, he'll bring other spiritual fathers and mothers into your life to make up for what you didn't have. That's, again, another thing about the beauty of the local church is you have a community of people. I have, my mom died when I was 17, I can't tell you how many moms in this church became a second mom to me. And I'll be forever in their gratitude that they came into their life and were a mom to me in my 20s. It made such an impact on my life. But trust God that he'll bring those people into your life. The second thing you need to do is to recognize that your parents did the best they knew how. And if you are a parent, you did the best you knew how. I got this revelation in my early 20s. I was reading Hebrews chapter 12. Again, I had a scheduled time with God. And I was reading this and it said, for our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, here it is, doing the best that they knew how. Doing the best that they knew how. And for me, I remember with my dad, now my mom was sick from the time I was in middle school till the time she passed, my senior year of high school. And my dad actually had to work two jobs, so he wasn't home and I had no boundaries and I did whatever I wanted in high school, which I thought was sweet until I had to grow up. But so my dad wasn't around a lot. And my dad didn't get to teach me a lot of things that a lot of dads teach. And I remember coming to this church, and I had my father-in-law and Pastor Larry became spiritual fathers to me. And I remember getting in a fight with my dad one day, and I said, Dad, if it weren't for Pastor Larry and Mike in my life, I wouldn't be anywhere because you didn't teach me anything. Man, just an ugly thing for a 19-year-old to say. And, man, I would pay $10 million to take that statement back. Millions of dollars. And do you know what God taught me when I read that scripture? Man, he said, man, let me show you what's awesome about your dad. Do you know my dad was an alcoholic from the time he was a teenager to the time he was 38 years old? And do you know what happened when he was 38 years old? I was born. My dad quit drinking, and if he hadn't quit drinking, my life would probably look totally different than it did now. My dad worked two jobs to make our family get through while my mom was sick and so that she could get all the treatment she needed. Man, my dad loves people, and he will do anything for anyone. I got my heart for people and service from him. My dad is my hero, and that's what God showed me through that verse. He wasn't a perfect parent. He didn't do anything perfect, but man, he is awesome, and he did so much for me. He did the best that he knew how, and I'm so grateful for that. And when you realize you as a parent or your parents did the best they knew how, you can honor them, which is what the Bible says to do. In Ephesians 6, verse 2, it says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life here on earth. Things will go well for you and you will have a long life. Not when you honor your parents when they've been perfect, not when you honor them when they did everything right. It just says to honor them. And for me, what that looks like in my life, I live by a principle called the first look, last look principle. And every time I interact with my dad, or really anybody for that matter, I want it to be like it's the first time I ever interacted with them. I want to be just as excited to see my dad as if I hadn't seen him in 10 years. And when I leave him, I want to have the last look. I want it to be like it's the last time. Did I tell him I love him? Did I tell him thank you for being a great dad? Did I check in with him? Because the reality is, you never know. But, you know, I lost my mom when I was 17. My mom never came to my wedding. My mom didn't get to see my first child be born. And if I would have known that I only got that short period of time with her, I would have treated her totally different. Life here is so brief. Honor your parents. And if you are a parent, listen, create the relationship you want with your kids. Or kids, create the relationship you want with my parents. My family aren't necessarily initiators, so a lot of times I have to be the initiator and initiate stuff. But you know what? We're creating the memories now that we didn't get in our teenage years. And it's absolutely wonderful. It's never too late to have the relationship you want with your parents or your kids. If you're going to break through the lid of family, man, seek God first. God will replace you with a parent. Realize that you did the best you knew how, or your parents did. And honor your parents. Then the last lid that I want to share with you is the lid of disappointment. The conditions of this lid are something happened to you in your life that caused you to be disappointed in God and stop trusting in Him. And I see this happen all the time in Christians' lives. And I've had, again, all these things, I'm just preaching to myself. These are things that I've had to go through and continue to go through and grow through. But there's going to be times in life, I love that song, it said, well, God, you'll never let me down. And here's what I found out about God. God will never let you down, but sometimes life can disappoint you. And so what do you do when life disappoints you? You know, for me, Laura and I both lost our moms, my wife and I. I was 17 when my mom died, and I wasn't a believer at the time. I didn't believe in healing or anything like that. And so when she died, for me, the only thing, it didn't really bother me. In fact, I was almost happy to see her go because I had seen her suffer so much. But 2 years later, my mother-in-law ended up passing away, and we did stand with God, and we did believe for healing and all of those things, and she still passed. And let me preface it with this. Does that mean that God doesn't heal? Does that mean that God's a liar? No. It just means we don't know why. And there's going to be things in life that you're just going to have to say, you know what? I don't know. And I know Sean preached on this a few weeks back, an incredible message if you didn't get to hear it. But the question in life isn't why. The question is, what do you do when you don't know why? What do you do when you don't know why? And the reality is, in my opinion, you have two options. You can run to God when you don't know why, or you can run from Him. When I've seen people run from them, they go to drugs, they go to alcohol, or anything else they can find to numb the pain. But when you actually run to God, I'm telling you, He'll do miracles in your life, and he will never let you down, literally, if you will just keep seeking Him. And that's the solution to this lid. You have to decide that no matter what, we serve God. No matter what. My father-in-law, he's here today. When his wife passed away, I remember him sitting us all down and saying, guys, no matter what, no matter what, we serve God. This doesn't change anything. We may not know why, but hey, we're still serving God. We will serve God all the days of our life. It sounded a lot like Joshua in chapter 5 when Joshua said, listen, I don't know what everyone else is going to do when life disappoints them, but I know for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And he stuck that pole in the ground and just said, man, let's go. And do you know that it's been over 10 years and all of us have families now and we're all walking with God and raising our kids to be world-changing kids for Christ? And it's because we didn't let disappointment hold us in this jar and limit us from who God wants us to be. We'll find out one day. Keith Moore often says this. He said, we're going to spend the first 1,000 years in heaven just going like, oh, like, that's why that happened. I get it. Oh, one day you'll know why. But until then, keep seeking Him. I can't imagine dealing with anything in life without Him. I can't. Don't run from Him. And then not only trust Him when you don't know why, but believe that He can turn it into something great. Romans 8:28, it's one of my favorite scriptures, says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called into His purpose too for Him. God causes everything to work together for good. For good. But I do want to point out this as a very specific group of people. It doesn't just say God turns everything out for good for anyone. It says for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So if you're a believer, that's a promise for you. That no matter what you're going through, if it's the darkest time in your life, God can turn it into something great. God took the darkest time in my life and losing my mom and used it to transform my life forever. God's not a respecter of persons. And I'm just here to tell you, if you're in the midst of disappointment with God, Don't let that lid keep you bound from who God called you to be. Man, blow it off by trusting him. And I promise you, he'll turn it into something good. God is faithful and he will never let you down. Run to him, not from him. And so in conclusion, you know, maybe the lids I talked about today hit home for you. Maybe you're in the midst of feeling like you're in the jar with one of those lids, or maybe I didn't mention any lids that you're dealing with. But we need, if we're gonna grow into the people that God called us to be, we need to be consistently evaluating ourselves and saying, God, what's holding me back from being all that you called me to be? What's holding me back from going to the next level in you? Because I know there's no limits on what you wanna do in and through my life. And evaluate yourself. And do what we're teaching you to do this summer. The only way to grow through your issues is spiritual growth. It's to get into the Word of God, find out what God says about it, let God speak to your heart about an issue, and let God literally blow the lids off your life. Let me pray for you. Before I pray, I never want to leave a service without giving you the opportunity to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you're here and you'd say to me, Doug, I don't know if I've ever made Jesus the Lord of my life, I'm here to tell you that you can actually go home and know that you have a relationship with God. The Bible said that Jesus Christ came and lived the life that we should have lived and died the death we should have died so that we could have a relationship with him in eternity and that we can live an abundant life now. And the Bible says you don't earn this. This isn't something you do by being a good person or going to church. The Bible simply says it's a free gift. And all you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. He rose from the dead and died for your sins for you. And ask him into your heart, repent of your sin, and he will come into your heart and transform your life. And so if you're here today, and you've never made Jesus the Christ the Lord of your life, but you would like to, I'm just gonna ask you to simply raise your hand on the count of three. I'm not gonna embarrass you, I'm not gonna point you out, I'm gonna pray a prayer with you, and everyone under the sound of my voice will pray it with you. And Jesus will come into your life, and I promise you, your life will never be the same. So if that's you, and you'd say, Doug, tonight, or this morning, I wanna make Jesus the Lord of my life, on the count of three, just raise your hand so I can see it. One, two, three. Awesome, thank you, I see that hand, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands are going up everywhere. Guys, I'm telling you, it's the best decision you ever made, thank you. I made it when I was in seventh grade, it changed my life. Anybody else? Well, that's so awesome. Hey, if you raised your hand or you should have, pray this where you can hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I repent of my sin. I believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross and he rose from the dead for me. Jesus, I ask you into my heart and I thank you for coming. Thank you for making me brand new. And thank you that I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, before I leave, let me just pray for you. I want to pray for the lids in your life. I know the prayer partners will be up here afterwards. If you're struggling with some lids, get prayer for those. Don't just try to isolate yourself and go through life alone. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you right now for everyone under the sound of my voice. Lord, we all have issues that we need to grow through. So Lord, I pray that whatever things that we need to grow through in our lives, Lord, that you would give us revelation of what those are. And Lord, that you would give us the wisdom and your word and what your word says about how to break through those issues, Lord. Teach us how to grow through those issues. I thank you that everyone here, Lord, that when they spend their time with you in their scheduled appointment daily, Lord, that you would meet them right where they're at and just do unbelievable things in their hearts and through their lives. I thank you for that. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord. And I just pray that your word just goes forth and produces what it went out to produce today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.